This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb.
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
Welcome back to another episode of the podcast, the home episode. I'll be your host this here podcast, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
The lower box today, he goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
What's up, y'all? Welcome to the new year, 2022, finally. Hopefully, I don't know, I say it every year, but I think this is going to be a good one. Matt already had some good luck. I feel like things are looking up. We're turning the corner on the Rona. I don't know. What's up, boys?
Yeah, I have a busy weekend to laying around. I'm getting boosted on Friday. Up there in the top left, getting the studio all set up and taking care of all the needs down south. Matt Conner, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted. Oh. Taking care of all the needs down south. I kind of like that as a tagline for myself.
You know, I was trying to think of some way to say where you're. I was like, down south. But, you know, I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
All right. First of all, we just got done with the Christmas break. Any highlights from Christmas for you guys? I mean, I could talk about, like, my buddy took me out to a great steak dinner. Also blatantly bombed our buddy, the mayor. He was having dinner at a restaurant he likes, Capitol Grill. So my buddy was like, we're sitting here having a drink before we go out. He goes, where should we go? I was like, oh, let's just annoy Joe. He's having like a real dinner with like his business partners. Like, let's just sit in the bar and harass him. But it was an awesome dinner.
Yeah, man. I mean, I had an awesome holiday. Yeah. Sorry. It's tough. Cause you guys can't see me, but yeah, I had an awesome holiday. I mean, it was like a classic Cobb Christmas. You know, I rolled over to Ted's place for his birthday, New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve. Obviously, dude, this was a good year. I feel like, you know, I think the expectations were low because of Corona. We came in hot. We had way too much food, had a lot of fun, had some beers, cruised back over, hung with my family on Christmas Day, you know, no drama. It was good. I feel like everything just kind of clicked. Like, even, you know, I always go on those Christmas ships every year. For people who aren't from Seattle, it's like, there's like this tour company called the Argosy, and they decorate a bunch of their boats with Christmas lights and then drive around and sing Christmas carols to people on the beach. But over the years, you know, they've been doing this for like 50 years. So actually, I think Argosy's been doing it for 24 years and the crew in Seattle's been doing it for 70. But anyway, so a bunch of like, you know, townsfolk decorate their boats too and roll behind them. And so it ends up being this huge parade of Christmas ships. And it's called the Christmas ships. And so this year we got tickets for the final performance of the final night when they do Gasworks, which is basically just the main event. So it was super cool. I went out, I take my mom out there, and yeah, for people who don't know, you know, she's been on chemo for a year. So it was a really special night, and we had a lot of good laughs, some good tears, and just listened to Christmas music, and that made my year. So yeah, it was really good. Awesome holiday, 10 out of 10.
All right. Then when did you fly out? Did you get out on the 26th when it was snowing?
No, so I had a flight on the 26th, but that got canceled. Then, okay, so, you know, I'm not going to say cheap because I don't like cheap people, but I'm kind of thrifty. So I use this app that lets you do like skip lag flights. It's called Skip Lag. And so I was on a flight that was going to Albuquerque by way of Salt Lake City, which is how you get to Park City, Utah, which is where I am now. And so they changed my flight and had me going through LA to Albuquerque, which obviously wasn't going to work. Then I called up, like, sweet talk the woman. They canceled my first flight when I was like halfway to the airport. There was a crazy snowstorm in Seattle. So I got on one the next morning via LA to Park City. So I did that. And right as I landed in, sorry, not Park City, Salt Lake City. Right as I landed in Salt Lake City, it was blue skies. We touched down and you can see this huge cell, like a black cloud moving over the airport itself, like a sheer wall of weather. Sure enough, as soon as we touch down, every phone on the plane gets a National Weather Service alert, like incoming giant storm, whiteout conditions, 0 feet visibility. So I'm like, oh, dang, my girlfriend was going to pick me up. So I go out, hop in the SUV. Of course, she's like, hey, you're driving. So I hop in. We make it about 200 yards out of the airport, full whiteout conditions. Can't see like the hood ornament on the car. And so we had to pull into a gas station, waited out for about, I don't know, an hour or so. And then we made the trek over to Park City.
Oh, man. Wow. I don't know how I feel. Like, that had to be, I would have been white knuckling it driving up to Park City after it just snowed.
Well, yeah, dude, that's the crazy thing. Their family doesn't even live in Park City. They live on the mountain, like, of the ski resort. So you have to get to Park City, which is higher than Salt Lake City, and then you just drive up the ski resort, like another, I don't know, a couple miles. It's like probably 30 minutes up there. And so, like, there's ski runs literally on either side of the house. It's a pretty cool spot. But so, luckily, I mean, they have snow tires and stuff, and I love driving in the snow. But yeah, Ted, it would have been terrifying for you.
Yeah, I'm just imagining. I mean, I've driven over Stevens Pass when it's snowing, and I'm white knuckling it. Also, yeah, I will say this. Like, I'm always in for snow, but after a couple of days, I was like, all right, it is freezing. This snow isn't going anywhere. Like, Seattle basically was just shut down for, like, days.
Oh, yeah, Ted, we're talking about 80 inches on the ground here right now.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah, I had to dig myself out of, like, a 5-foot hole skiing today. It was crazy.
Oh, damn. All right. Matt, how about you?
No snow.
Oh, I heard it was unseasonably cold. It was like 65. People were freaking out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it hits in the 40s at night. It's cold, but there's snow on the mountains. You can see it. But yeah, we had a good low key Christmas. It was just two of us. Christmas Eve, we went out to a nice dinner, but it was at the Ritz-Carlton, but they had a like special Christmas menu. So it was like a little cheaper than regular.
All right.
Christmas, regular Ritz-Carlton prices, and it was really good food though. Still like, yeah, Ritz quality. So we got dressed up and did that, and you know, had a good time. And then it was just the two of us hanging out, opening presents, and you know, zooming back home a couple times. Then you know, just hanging out the rest of the day. Tyler made a really good prime ribeye roast, and yeah, we just hung out. And then yeah, I had the day off. I had 2 days off after, which is kind of rare. So yeah, that was cool. And then, I just kind of worked right up to it and then right back on Monday, and it's just been go, go, go since. But, Christmas was fun. And, I like doing it in the desert. I like the lit up palm trees. Like Kevin McAllister said that, or Kevin's mom said that in Home Alone too. She's like, decorate a palm tree. And it always made sense to me. And so, yeah, that's what they do down here on some of the streets. And it's just like, hell yeah, this is great.
Yeah, like, it's...
That is awesome.
It's supposed to be cold at Christmas, and I love all that stuff, but people always said, like, my brother's told it to me. He's like, you know, the older I get, I can deal with more warm weather. And I'm like, yeah, this has been the first year. I was like, I got to spend a Christmas somewhere warm.
So we came to the desert, and, like, my most used Christmas present that Tyler gave me is this gigantic thick fleece. I've been wearing it all the time. It's like, it still feels like winter down here. If you're here when it was you know, 90 a month ago. So yeah, it felt like Christmas. It's like, I'm just thin blooded and now, and yeah, I was freezing at 55 when we'd be out looking at lights and stuff and driving around. So, but yeah, Christmas in the desert's great.
I will say, it is, like, I was bragging today. Somebody was like, what's the best Christmas gift you got? I was like, well, my mom sent me some crab cakes and stuff. Oh, from Jimmy's Famous in Baltimore, Matt. You know them. Yep. Awesome stuff. Then my dad sent me like some crab balls. So those were top tier gifts. But also, I got new socks and 3 pairs of that Tommy John underwear. And I was like, oh, look at me. I was like bragging, like popping tag.
Let's go. Oh, that's awesome. Ted, did you do your usual thing on Christmas Day, like going to the restaurant and stuff?
Yeah, so me and a couple buddies always go to 13 Coins. But last year, because everything was, you couldn't dine indoors, so we just got it to go. So then we decided the same thing. Like, we got it, we got the food, got it to go, and then we make crab cocktails at home, which I should send you guys a picture. Like, I was very proud. Like, you just, like, we took wine glasses, like the big ones, and I just chopped up a bunch of celery, cocktail sauce, and was just throwing in lumps of crab meat. Like, I was like, oh my God. So we did that. And then the two guys I was hanging out with are both, one guy's a very big whiskey enthusiast, I'll say. So there was multiple gifts given away, and there was a 3-hour period where we just kept going, let's try this one, let's try that one. And like, I mean, the snow helped, but like Christmas Day, like we started at noon, and I think I was like calling an Uber at 7:15. I was like, oh man, like I gotta go.
Dang, tying one off.
Yeah.
Wait, so you guys got it to go. Did you go to one of their houses or your place?
Yeah, no. We went over to Sean's and we're just chilling there and stuff. But it was one of those things, like I knew it was gonna snow, and Matt, Christmas Eve, man, like a few more people showed up than I expected, but Cobb's always on pizza. Good work, Mr. Cobb. But
thank you, sir.
Like Cobb ended up bringing it. He was like, oh, I brought a pumpkin pie. And I was like, oh, great. And then somebody else was like, I made you a pecan pie. I was like, awesome. Then Brett's wife made gooey cake. And I was like, guys, there's also a whole tray of cookies. I mean, Matt, we had all the heavy hitters. Like the meatball was out, the dips were out. So that was part of the reason on Christmas Day, I was like, Sean, I love you, buddy, but if I'm getting stuck anywhere in the snow, it's going to be on my couch with those leftovers.
Yeah, seriously, man. That was an all-star lineup of food. I mean, that was one of the best years I've ever seen. That harkened back to the days at your old condo in Belltown.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. I mean, even just the bruschetta, which sounds odd, but like my buddy and his wife make delicious bruschetta. I mean, just like everything was freaking awesome.
Yeah. It was a star-studded event if you're a food enthusiast.
All right, before I get to New Year's, I also just want to mention, shout out to Maryland beating the crap out of Virginia Tech in their bowl game.
Yeah, dude, I was watching, I don't remember, did I text you at the beginning of that or not? I know I was thinking about it, but yeah, I was watching the Terps for like the first quarter. I'm just like, damn, like the boys are looking good today. Let's go.
Yeah. And we went to Buckley's, shout out to Buckley's in Queen Anne. And they were like, we'll let you in right at 11 so you can see kickoff. So like the whole bar is empty. We sit up like kind of in the top part because we had all 4 TVs. Dude's like, I'll put on the volume for you, man. Like there's nobody coming in right now. The first group of people to walk in is 4 people in Virginia in tech gear. And like they come up the stair, the one stair. I'm in my gold shirt. Sean's in his. And he's just like, are you kidding me? Maryland fans? I was like,
yeah, of all the bars and all the places. Yeah, exactly.
Right. But halfway through the game, their girlfriends left. And then we were just set. We were like, you guys want a shot? We're drinking shots. And we're going to score another touchdown.
Nice. They bridge the gap.
And then, yeah, did the normal. Actually went to a friend's small get together for New Year's. Turns out his wife was right. I still smell like campfire. But New Year's Day, I have a couple buddies that come over. Same thing. We get pizza, watch football. There was some good games on New Year's Day. Like the main 2 playoff games kind of, or New Year's Eve kind of sucked, but like New Year's Day, there were some games on.
Yeah, I couldn't believe those playoff games, man. I thought both of the teams I was pulling for lost. I mean, I would have loved to see the Bearcats in the final. Like Cincinnati's, they're such a small school, but those SEC teams, Ted, honestly, your words from a couple weeks ago echoed through my head because you were saying, like, you know, the SEC is just getting too powerful. It's going to make it so there's not any balance of power with Texas moving over and Oklahoma moving over. And I kind of agreed. Now I'm 100% on board.
Yeah, I just, people forget, 15, 20 years ago, like NASCAR really had a boom and was doing well. But now it's basically just a regional sport again. I know there's plenty of NASCAR fans in Washington in the Northwest, but it's a regional sport. So if the SEC is just every year that dominant, I just worry, it's just going to be it's just going to matter football down there. And it's like, man, I like college sports too much not to have the Pac-12 or the other big conferences matter.
Yeah, I could definitely see it losing relevance. I mean, luckily, whatever conference Ohio State and Michigan are in, that's still pretty solid. But yeah, I mean, even Oregon, got smacked by, what was that, Oklahoma State, I think. And so, yeah, I mean, they were the best team coming out of the West Coast.
Yeah, I mean, the Big Ten stays relevant mainly because Ohio State and Michigan, which also sucks for Maryland because we got to play them every year. They're in our division. But yeah, I mean, yeah, this year it's like Georgia, you just knew it was going to, and it's just a repeat of the same damn SEC title game, which I'm sure it'll actually be the only good game. But just come on, man, we need somebody else. You need an SC, you need a Washington, you need an Oregon from the Pac-12. You need more teams in the Big Ten. And frankly, I want to see a Big 12 team. Let's all eat.
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, that's the thing. I do have to give credit. I mean, I talk a lot of ass about the NFL, but on any given Sunday, either team could win. I mean, that's the truth. You saw, even Ted, I'm sure you watched some games this Sunday, and there were some big upsets, and they do a really good job, with the exception of the New England Patriots for that run that they had. In general, I feel like it's anybody's Super Bowl. Even the Seahawks this year were, one of the favorite teams to end up there, and their record was trash. So, I feel like they do a really good job somehow balancing out the teams.
Yeah, well, the NFL, that's the greatest thing it has to me is the parity, right? You're right. Outside the Patriots, it seems like everybody's got a chance. And then also, it's just, all sports are results business, but there's not much more than the NFL, right? What is there, 17 games or, you got to win. It's a short leash. But it is, it's also you give back. To the smaller, that's how Green Bay exists. A lot of these smaller market teams wouldn't have crap, but you're right. Even this year, Green Bay is probably the favorite, but from the AFC, it's I don't know. Is it the Bengals? Is it the Chiefs?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and this doesn't really matter that much, but just as far as your college football theory goes, as there's more and more things competing for people's attention, whether that's now people are onto Formula One or they're like you and they're watching cricket and Prem Yodish, or they're watching the MLS and they just got a team in town. You know what I mean? And there's so many video games and stuff. So I see what you're saying, man. I mean, it sounds far off now. It sounds crazy to be like college football could end up irrelevant in a large part of the country, because right now, tailgating is still pretty big. You go to even a UW tailgate, which is, not one of the most prominent teams. It's still pretty live, but yeah, you're right. If it gets to the point where they're just so dominant that you're not going to win, I mean, we could see a big exodus for the sport. I think baseball has seen, a lot of fans leave just because it's not quite as exciting to watch. And they've had to pull out all the stops in terms of, local food in the stadiums and having dog night at the stadium and different promotions and stuff to keep butts in the seats. So, Ted, this is one of your crazier theories, but over a longer period, I could actually see this panning out, and I hope it doesn't go that way.
I hope it doesn't either. With that said, I'm such a junkie in the background. I have on the Texas Bowl. So I'm just like, oh.
I thought you were going to say, with that said, shout out to Prem Yodish.
there's only two games left. I'm putting it on. All right. New Year's. First of all, I think the Monday after New Year's, I think should be called National Salad Day. I feel like people probably eat more salads on that day, right? Because New Year's Day, you're like, well, it's still New Year's Day. Like, probably hungover, or you went out, you made like some crazy food the night before, but it's like January 2nd or January 3rd. Like people are like, today's the day. It changes today.
Yeah, I'm turning it all around. Exactly. And then there is within the psychological community too, I can't remember what it is, but there's a date within February that's the most depressing day of the year. And it's because like the most statistically significant number of people have given up their like new, what are those called? Resolutions and habits. And it's the saddest day of the year. It's before Valentine's Day, but I want to say it's like the 7th or the 8th, something like that. And yeah, so, you know, like big tree fall hard.
Yeah, I feel like it's just like the day after the Super Bowl, like, all right, so you probably really messed up your resolution. Football's over. The holidays are over. Like
you don't have a date for Valentine's Day next weekend.
Yeah, Tom, you know what's funny? Like, right, like on radio, like we always bring it up on that day, but I always forget. But that'll be one of those things where like, oh yeah, I forget. Today is like the saddest day of the year.
But dude, Ted, it's funny because I remember when I read about that, I feel like you, Matt, and I had sort of come to that conclusion on our own. Like for years, you and I have been like, yeah, but you know, once the Super Bowl's over, you have nothing to look forward to. Like maybe your next holiday is St. Patrick's Day or like a Cinco de Mayo. But like, you know, these are I don't want to say lesser holidays, but they're not like, you know, major holidays, more minor holidays.
They're stretch holidays.
And so, yeah. And I feel like the three of us came to that conclusion independently. And then when I read it in the literature, I was just like, wow, there's actually like a real statistics behind that being the most depressing day of the year. So as much as the podcast is a wealth of misinformation, you know, you throw enough darts, one of them's going to hit, baby.
Yeah. Well, like, and it's fine, right? Like I'll watch college hoops. I'll watch other stuff and soccer. Right. But yeah, like I tell people all the time, like there's just something about football in America, whether it's college or NFL, like it's like a little mini like get together, right? And it's like a reason to do something. And like, hey, 3.5-4 hours, like this is what we're doing.
Oh yeah. And one, Ted, I'm glad that you said America, because there are three things that blow Europeans' minds about the US. And if anyone's traveling, feel free to use these. Number one, the size of our refrigerators blows Europeans' minds. They'll like stand and take photos in front of them. I feel like I see it all on Instagram all the time. It's like, God, like, look how big these fridges are, because they live closer to grocery stores and they shop more regularly and get stuff fresh in their neighborhood. Whatever. They think they're better than us. I get it. Two, garbage disposals. Those basically don't exist in most of Europe. So that's a fun one. And number three, our love for college athletics and treating them like superstars.
Yeah, I know. They're always thrown off by that. Like, you don't even pay these guys.
Yeah, I know. But like everyone in town is like wearing their jersey with the name on the back. Well, and Ted, I think I told you about that high school in Texas. We went to watch a high school game. And first of all, their stadium looked like a fortress. It probably held 10 to 15,000 people. And number two, you know, when you walk by a stadium and you see those action shots of like professional sports people, it's like somebody swinging a bat or catching a pass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they had those, but of high school athletes, like of people who went to that school. And I'm like I was there with my girlfriend. And I was like, God, like, just imagine how much you get laid if your poster is literally on the side of the stadium.
I mean, isn't that like the famous scene from the beginning of Varsity Blues, right? The starting quarterback has like a billboard or whatever, like outside his house or whatever. It's like, oh, yeah, it's Texas football. It matters more.
Oh, yeah. Well, dude, seeing that stuff in real life is shocking. And honestly, their facilities looks like a nice college facility. Like their baseball field, probably the most dialed I've seen in my life. I mean, and it was like a practice facility. Like this place, Ted, maybe you know from going to DeMatha, but that's just, you know, Juanita High School is just not pushing those kind of numbers. And it was incredible. I mean, it's a real facility.
Yeah. I mean, DeMatha is like new gym. Is that nice and stuff? But for years, that was kind of one of the secrets of DeMatha too. Like it just had a small gym and a small weight room.
Now I love that. Keep it humble.
Like, yeah. Now it's like state of the art. But I will say this, like talking about, I haven't seen high school football in Texas, but like when we went to Knoxville to see a game there, like, I mean, it's announcements in the supermarket. Like, it's everything. Like, you realize, like, that's everything. It's another Saturday.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's what we got on special today. Basically, hot dogs, burgers, buns, and beer.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when they say it's a religion, they mean it.
Yeah. All right. We talk about this every year. Are you guys doing resolutions? Do you care?
I don't want to go first. Go ahead, boys.
I am not. I mean, I feel like every year you ask me, and I'm like, I guess not. I mean, I would have had them by now. I would have started attempting them by now. It's not, I'm less and less anti-resolution, and it's really like, you know, I just don't, you know, I've worked with people that have started in January and done really well now, a couple times, and it's like, oh, that could work out for some people. You know, I know the statistics, but at the same time, it's like, hey, you know, I don't want to discourage people from at least setting out in earnest to improve themselves. But I haven't ever done a resolution, and I used to like make a little more of a fuss about it. And now I feel like these last couple of years, Ted, you ask, and I go, no, nope. It wasn't a conscious thing that I avoided until like you ask, and I go, I would have had to have started it because it's, what is it? The fourth now?
The fourth. Yeah.
Yeah. So no, nope, guess not.
Ted, where I'm at is, at this point, I've made so many mistakes in my life that my life is a resolution to try to be a better guy. So I feel like year round, I'm all about the self-improvement game, but you know, just as many gains as you make, you take one step forward and you take two steps back. So the thing I really like that I think about is that chapter in that Jordan Peterson book. I think it's like the 12 rules for life, 12 steps for life, something like that. And he says, like, don't compare yourself to who someone else is today. Compare yourself to who you were yesterday. And I feel like that advice, as much as you've probably heard it before, that is deep wisdom right there. And so, you know, I try to think about it that way. But that's a long version of saying, no, I don't have any resolutions. But I try to always keep, you know, an eye towards the horizon, same with Matt, and try to be improving myself.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't really make them either. I think for a lot of people, it's just because December is such a gluttonous month. It's like, all right. And it's like, well, you can agree to kind of tone it down in January. But yeah, it's a tough line. And we talk about every year. As I'm with Matt, like, statistically, like, most people are going to fail. But also, like, the ones that stick it through, like, maybe that was the jumpstart they needed. I always just go back to when I was boxing, like 2 months leading up to it had to be very strict, right? No sugar, no booze, no weed, blah, blah, blah. And like my coach Rob, I was like, all right, starting Monday. And he's like, oh, you're going to fail. You don't start on a Monday. He's like, have a beer and you get home Monday night. Maybe have one Tuesday, start on Wednesday. So that always kind of stuck with me about not setting like a hard date. You know, like Matt, when we started nutrition, it was like what? Like the spring or something, right? Yeah. It wasn't like early January. I was like, Matt, I got to get this done.
Nah. So. No. I mean, it's something that a lot of people, you know, to me, it just seems like a little bit of a waste of time, you know, like a gradual year-long commitment to their lifelong commitment to improvement makes more sense. And I was just talking to a client earlier about like, yeah, man, it's a fine time to run another experiment and see how something works for you. And if it works well, great. Keep it in the rotation of habits. And if not, you know, try something else in February or before then or later, who cares? But, you know, over the course of the next year, if you ran 12 self-improvement experiments, one for each month, you know, and the first one was a quote unquote failure. Well, it's an experiment, so it's not a failure. It's just some data. And then it's like, you got a fresh start in February. If you want to do the like resolutions thing, like make sure that you can, you know, you can reset that clock anytime. It is a bit arbitrary. And use that to your advantage, not to a point where you're beating yourself up come February 7th or whatever it is.
Dude, yeah. That's good advice. I do, just since Ted brought the topic, sorry to interject, Ted, but okay. I do have one goal for this month if you guys in the podcast would like to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I've never, like up until a week ago, I'd never been skiing before. Like I've been cross-country skiing a little bit, but I snowboarded when I was a kid. but also like not that much because snowboarding's expensive, you know, my parents didn't have a ton of money. So, so I was like, okay, like this year I'm going to be up at that house in the mountains. Like, you know, I need something to do. We're going to be there for a month. Like, I'm going to learn to ski. So I rented skis. I got a pass, the whole thing. And, now I started skiing and I'm on Blues right now, working my way up. Nice. But I'm trying to go just about every day, get some in. But my goal is I just looked at the big map of Park City and I picked out the gnarliest sounding run. And so my goal by the end of the month is to ski this run that's a double black diamond called Warzone.
don't die, dude.
Warzone, baby. I already went down. I made the mistake. Ted, I took a wrong turn onto, what was it, the human pinball? Oh, no, Pinball Alley. And I got tossed. It's through the tree. It's moguls through the trees. And it's like the width of like a mountain bike path. And I'm like, you know, I'm a white belt. And so I got tossed. I got back to the house and I was like, oh, yeah, I went down Pinball Alley. And everyone's like, oh, man, like you did a black diamond? You did a black diamond? I was like, no, like it did me. Like, honestly, it took me. I got tossed and like, you know, probably fell five times and barely made it out alive. But anyway, Warzone, that's on the horizon, boys. So feel free to get hyped up.
Hell yeah. I have definitely on a snowboard on Crystal Mountain been stuck in some moguls on a like black diamond. And I was like, I should not be here. Like, this is going to take me forever to get down. Like, this is brutal. Like to the point of like getting stuck in snow and like having to like unstrap the board and like climb out. I was like, what were we thinking going up here? My buddy's like, all we got to do is get down. I'm like, I love you, dude. This was a bad call. And people are like, you guys shouldn't be up here. Like, right. We fathom that now.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping doesn't happen on Warzone, but I've made a commitment to myself. So now it's just about putting in the work and training every day.
Hell yeah.
Warzone, baby.
Warzone. All right, good. Let's take a break here and we'll come back with some emails. What's Matt and in the cop topic? All right. Well, welcome back. As always, thanks to our sponsors. We know you guys love us because we love you. All right. I think it's time to read some emails.
Go to Harvard. cop topic. For my remains, I want any... Oh, I think we were saying like, yeah, what do you want to do with your ashes / remains? For my remains, I want any still good organs to be donated to whoever can use them, then recycle the rest of me, like planting a tree or anything else, but put me back into the earth. Eric.
That's pretty fair.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Ted, are you familiar with the guys who harvest your corneas?
Man, I feel like you've told me this, or somebody knows somebody that did this, right?
Dude, they make so much money, but they show up and they cut out your eyes while they're still hot.
Oh.
Like they literally show up and like, it's like a sharp spoon, like a knife / spoon. And they just go pop, pop. Like they don't pop out the whole thing, just the front. Like they just get cut it in half, I think. I don't really know. Actually, now that I realize I am a wealth of misinformation, because I just know they take the eyes within the first like 4 hours. I don't know exactly how they do it.
Well, it sounds like
it's definitely physical.
At that tiny little spoon.
Yeah. Dude, exactly. Yeah, it's like one of those little spoons. God, and that's just like, I'm an organ donor, but that part I'm not looking forward to.
Well, don't worry. You won't realize it's happening.
Ted, I may be a spirit hovering above, dude. Who knows? Who wants to watch their eyes get gouged out with a grapefruit spoon? Cop topic. My girlfriend doesn't like this idea, but I want my remains to be turned into a substrate to grow psychedelic mushrooms. And my friends go skiing or rafting while tripping on me. Tate and Phil, why?
I mean, I'm in.
That's a good friend.
Yeah, we're in, bro. We're all in. If you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, you know we're down.
Right. You just made three new friends.
Right. Too bad we didn't know you when you were alive.
Yeah. You would have wanted this, man. I'm freaking out, bro.
Right. It's like, Ted, that's not even the right ones. You're just eating shrooms now to eat them. Like, oh, yeah, okay. Well, give me one of those.
R.I.P.
This is for you, Tayton.
How long have I been sitting on this run? I'm just picturing me trying to snowboard now. Like, I can't get off. I just got to sit down right here. Like, dude, it's been 2 hours. You got to get to the bottom of the hill.
We got to make a move. They're going to close.
Right.
To the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
I want to go out with a bang after I die. Mix my cremated remains in with gunpowder. I'm a soldier and loved shooting sports since I was a kid. I actually heard of a couple of hunters that did this once too, but I had the idea first. Another option, they actually have a product where your remains are made part of the soil that grows a new tree. That would be great with my love of nature. One more post-death idea. There was a guy who had his ashes made into an hourglass egg timer, still trying to keep his wife on time. Okay, last thing. If you haven't heard of the All Fantasy Everything podcast, check it out. They took Ted's fast food draft idea and made a mint off of it. Pretty good. Best regards, Dwayne.
Oh, man. All right, well, I guess, yeah, good for that.
We had it first, just like your idea.
Yeah. We're still all living in apartments. Maybe next year.
I mean, I think almost any podcast in America has made more money off it than we have.
Yeah. The thing is, our click-through rate on the Harvard ads is not good. A lot of you guys have not been signing up for secondary education there.
They're all going to Yale, a real college.
Yeah, we're Princeton people here. Princeton and Yale only. Ted, holy S. I've been watching F1 for 20 years. That last lap was the best racing I've seen. I've always said F1 is some of the worst racing on earth, but that was awesome. F. Lewis Hamilton, LARP on, boys.
Oh, all right. Coming in with an F. Lewis. All right. I mean, look, he's right. It's good for the sport. I just hate Max.
Yeah. God.
Yeah.
Did we talk about, we haven't talked about this. That was a crazy finish.
We talked about it on here.
Okay, it's been a long time. Yeah. That's probably why he's emailing back. I don't know how you can say F. Lewis, though.
A lot of people don't like Lewis Hamilton.
Did they not like him before
like
that
the Yankees,
race?
Man.
Or do they not like him now with the way he's handled it since?
Oh, no. A lot of people just didn't like him in general. I mean, right. He wins every year. Like, he's British. Like,
he's just the best car.
Yeah, the guy's right. Like, it was just boring because he was the best driver and the best technology car. So it was like, oh, yeah, like, Lewis is going to win again. You know, like, he is correct. Like, every once in a while, somebody else would win a race, but it was kind of a joke that it would just be Lewis, Max, and then Bottas. And that was, like, how it went for, like, year. Or Lewis, Bottas, and somebody else.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah. I mean, they're in the most expensive vehicles. You know, money plays.
Yeah. For sure. Also, I'm such
a... all those guys are elite level drivers. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm such a junkie. Like, they obviously are on, like, their winter break. Like, last night, I found myself watching. I was like, this football game sucks. I'm turning it off. Then I was like, wait a minute. I got to finish it. There's not much football left. When does F1 start? I'm like, all right, March.
It's March? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they got plenty of time off. But I believe in late February or early March, we should get season 4 of... Drive to Survive on
okay, Netflix. That's what it was. Yeah, I think that's late February, but yeah. That would make sense right ahead of the season.
Yeah.
God, man. I just had one of those moments where, like, how do you know you're in a relationship? Like, you're talking about Formula One and all this cool stuff, and I'm like, yeah, last night I was watching a documentary about one of the housewives of Salt Lake City getting arrested and charged with wire fraud. Yeah, you're living the dream, dude. You're a bachelor living alone in a cool apartment on Capitol Hill. Like, you're living the goddamn dream. You're watching sports every day. You got leftovers. You're having your friends over. You're smoking weed, walking to work. Like, God, man. You know, it might not feel like it all the time, but you're the American dream right now.
Well, it feels like it. Everybody knows.
Well, Ted, dude, yeah, I will say one genuine compliment that I've always loved about you is for people listening, like Ted and like even Ted's brother would affirm as he's walking his dog listening, like the person you hear on here is exactly who Ted is every day of his life. Like, you're like, oh man, I feel like, you know, Ted just would like, you know, like, I'd be like, oh, F that. Like, I'm going to wake up at 11 and eat some cold cereal. I'm like, you're right. Like, that's Ted. Or like, stay out late and have a burger and beers or whatever. Like, there was possibilities. Like, I don't know. Just like, he's authentic to the core. Like, what you hear is what you get. I don't know, man. You just, yeah, you are living the bachelor dream up there.
Well, thank you.
All right. You're welcome. What's up, fellas? Big shout out to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
Congratulations on making it to the home episode 69.
69.
Nice. Ready Cobb's question about what we'd like done with our remains when we die. Personally, I don't really care. To quote Frank Reynolds from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, just throw me in the trash. I'm dead. So f*** it. On a more serious note, this is likely impossible, but I'd love my ashes sent to space and sprinkled amongst the stars. But seeing how that'd likely cost my loved ones an arm and a leg, let's stick with the trash option. Anyhow, interesting question, Cobb. Thank you, dudes, for keeping the podcast going during the pandemic and keeping us jabronis entertained at home. Cheers, Mikey Dubs.
Hey, you know, it's funny. I've recently acquired a lighter that says, just throw me in the trash.
You know, it's funny, when you were describing being at Buckley's at 11 a.m., I was picturing a scene out of Always Sunny.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what it was. We need a pitcher of coffee and a pitcher of Coors Light.
Yeah, like they still have the house lights on. You know, like the ones they turn on to send people home.
Yes, that's right. And just two idiots in a frozen street standing there at 10:59. We heard we could get in and watch kickoff. You two can come in. Come on.
I feel like, I don't know what this says about me, but you know how girls are like Sex in the City, like, oh, you're such a Miranda or whatever. Like, to me, I'm like, gosh, sometimes I'm just such a Mac. Or sometimes I'm such a Dennis. I don't know what it says to me that my, I just default to Always Sunny in Philadelphia characters as like my personality traits.
Man, I'll just tell you right now, that is such a Samantha thing to say. Okay. Hey guys, I have a question that maybe Ted can answer. This time of year, when radio stations switch to only Christmas music, like 94.1, do they see a huge ratings increase? Because it's the only time I listen to them. Keep on trucking, Tyler.
I will tell you this: they wouldn't do it if it didn't. You know what I mean? If it didn't work.
Fair enough. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, last one. The title is Nachos. Hey, fellas. I heard Ashley shout out for... wait, hold on a second. You know what? We're going to skip this one, boys.
All right.
Yeah. Good call.
Man, I think I sent you that other email. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Let's move along.
Is that it?
No, that's the last email. Yeah, that's my
laptop. All right. Well, this is awkward. Let's just take a break, Matt. All right. Well, like we always say, go to Columbia. It's our preferred Ivy League school. All right. It's time to see what's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to what's Matt, check out with what's Batman.
Anything but brown. That's all I'm saying.
Anything but brown.
All right. I've actually been saying that I'm Harvard educated to clients. It's like joking, but I read a Harvard Medical School publication. It's like, it was like $30. It was all about how you lose 5 pounds of muscle mass every decade, basically on average after 35 without strength training, which is quite a significant amount of muscle that you lose as you age if you don't strength train. And people usually see the scale go up over those decades, right? So it was a very, like, I love stuff like that, the way that I talk to people throughout sessions. But I got it from a Harvard Medical School publication for $30, but I've been claiming to be Harvard educated a lot lately.
I think you could say you're Harvard educated on this topic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like sometimes I'll tell people I used to live with a bunch of dudes at Hopkins. Like, did you go to Hopkins? I'm like, I took a class there. I went to one class with my buddy Steve once.
I took a class.
Like literally one singular class.
A day of class.
Right. And the teacher is like, all right, whatever, he can hang out. But you know, I got an answer right. So I felt pretty smart.
Nice. It just one happened for one at Hopkins.
Yeah, it was just like it was a question that had something to do with a labor union or something, right? And I'm like, well, I can answer this. She's like, oh, can you? She's like, that's actually right. And I was like, you just happen to pick one subject that's in my wheelhouse.
It was that in college football.
Right? Like if you had asked a mascot, right? All right, Mr. Harvard, what else is going on?
Yeah, I did. I completed my TPI, Titleist Performance Institute certification, which is a little bit more legitimate than my Harvard education.
All right.
So that's been cool at work and, you know, able to teach golf fitness classes now in the new year. That'll be really exciting. And yeah, so I'm pretty pumped on how that's headed. As far as my own personal golf game, the weekend before Christmas, maybe. I don't think, yeah, we were off when, did I tell you guys I shot an 81?
Whoa. That's a good score, though.
I feel like you would have remembered. I hope I'm not, I thought that was over the break, but I also thought we didn't talk about F1. So time's an illusion. I don't know what's what, but I shot an 81 and it was, yeah, it was really awesome. So, but I did it without a driver. So I got myself a new driver. So that, it's not a liability as much as it was. Cause you think like, oh, you know, you lose some drives. It's what happened. And then it was like, I'm 6 strokes better without my driver. That's a problem. Like, my driver's a part of the problem. Let's get this dealt with. And yeah, so PXG had a big sale. And I got a new one and I took it to the range the other day and I'm real stoked. I'm real stoked to,
nice.
To take that out on the course. And yeah, now it's back to work and you know, just hoping some we'll go to the golf tournament down. It's all golf stuff, you know. That's why I said it'll be quick. But yeah, it's I'm in the right place for it. So yeah, having a good time and it's great to be back here. Those last two Tuesdays were weird. It's such a benchmark of my week, Ted. Yeah. What have I talked about? When was the last one? What is going on today? It's good to see you.
Oh, that's pretty good. Cobb, you still there?
Yep.
All right. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Boo, 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 boo. Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
All right. This one, like, I don't really know. You know, the origin story, I guess, for me. Well, okay. I lived alone for a long time, and I live with my girlfriend now. Humble brag, but, I lived by myself for a long time and I feel like there's just some things about bachelor living that you learn that you wouldn't have learned otherwise. Like if you had always lived with people, like a lot of people, they live with their, a lot of women will like live with their families and then go straight to living with a boyfriend, or probably some guys do that too. I don't really know. I didn't mean that to be sexist, but, so anyway, one thing I just remember this distinctly when I was in like my mid 20s. One of my older friends who I was playing indoor soccer with, he was significantly older. He was like probably 35. He was about 10 years older than me. He was this engineer at Boeing and he had this townhouse that he lived in by himself. And he was like, hey man, do you live alone? I was like, yeah, I do. He goes, here's my advice for you. He's like, use your washing machine as your laundry hamper and your dryer as your dresser. And I did. And it was amazing. That was some of the best advice I'd gotten. And so Cobb topic this week is, my phone just freaked out. Cobb topic this week is, what's something you learned from living alone that you would not have learned otherwise? Feel free to email us, literally theword@thepodcast.com. What's something you learned from living alone that you would not have learned otherwise? Boys?
I mean, I think the first thing is just cooking, or at least like making stuff for yourself. And then after a while, like, you got to learn, you got to learn more recipes, right? Like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people in your 20s or whatever, you kind of skate by doing whatever, but you get into your 30s and stuff, it's like, oh, I need to learn how to, like, cook food. You know what I mean? Like I need to get a crock pot, or now, you know, like, you start buying stuff. You're like, this really helps out a ton. Like, I got an air fryer now. I'm like, oh, I'm going to cook all kinds of stuff in here. So I'm like, to me, cooking was a big one. Is it's like, there's no parents around. There's no girlfriend around. And even for me, like, when I lived in Baltimore, like, man, Burris was a great cook. He's still one of the best cooks. So I just got used to having a roommate that would be like, just clean and I'll cook or whatever. So, like, learning to cook would be a big one for me.
Yeah, I think that's good. I feel like another little side one is, like, when something goes wrong, it's you that has to repair it. Like, when that, like, smoke detector, like, little beep is going off, like, it's on you, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody's coming to save you. You got to replace that battery. Matt?
Yeah, I was also thinking along the lines of food, except to not cook. and that Trader Joe's is just a gold mine of awesome stuff.
Uh-oh. Matt, is that you? Is that me?
Nope. Uh-oh.
Yo, you guys still there?
Cobb? Ted's frozen.
Yeah, I'm here.
It's Ted this time.
Ted's frozen?
Oh, Ted's back.
Wow. What do we do?
Oh, Christ. This is me this time.
Now I was saying mine was unstable. This is going to sound great.
I think you leave this in and let's, or go ahead, Matt.
We're all good. No, it's fine. People love it. We're honest to a fault.
we should title this one Warzone Unstable. I don't want to say unstable.
Warzone!
Right? Or just like Warzone.
Warzone!
All right. Yeah, Trader Joe's is great. Before I lived alone, I thought it was like for chicks more. Like, hot chicks were always the ones out here talking about Trader Joe's. And then I moved to Santa Barbara and I was there 3 times a week, it felt like.
Yeah, Trader Joe's is solid.
You haven't let anybody in, man.
All right. Good call. All right. Listen, we'll be back next week. I don't know. Enjoy. There is an extra week of NFL football actually on this week. So enjoy that. You got a bonus week of that. And then a national title. And we'll see you back here Tuesday for MCTP, for the Warzone King, Cobb himself. I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast.
Warzone!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most, exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.